And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Oh, wow.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get
so
the
funny
podcast,
to me.
The podcast, the podcast, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Okay, so you guys have to understand, we don't know what the podcast theme is going to be every week. It's the same words, but it's AI that just generates some different genre.
That's awesome.
So every week's like, you could be in here and it could sound like some death metal screamo, rah, rah, or whatever.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what it's going to be.
Eddie Montgomery Gentry is in here, you know, gruff and rah, 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 and we have that as the intro. It sounds like a children's story time hour.
Yeah, trust me, they wouldn't want me on there.
Well, you wrote a children's book.
I did write a children's book.
You wrote a children's book?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
How do you first what I'm here for?
It's called Police Are Our Friends. You know, it's back when all that stuff was going on, and I was going, you know, where it starts at is it starts with our kids, you know, and if we teach them, man, growing up, you know, respect, and we want the officers to respect us, and you know, and go from there. So I wrote a children's book, and I couldn't believe it, man. Everybody liked it.
Is it available now still? Is it still in print?
Yeah, or, okay. You still get it.
Police Are Our Friends, and we just, I guess, go on Amazon.
I just
kind of,
I just kind of sewed it out. I don't even know where it's
It's on a website. I'll get you the website. I don't remember the name of it right now, but.
All right, and so Eddie Montgomery is here with us. Also, Brian Fraser is with us. And thank you guys for giving us a little bit of extra time to be able to stick around and do the show with us.
Oh, no problem, brother. Yeah.
So you want to tell a story, Brian? What was your story?
Oh, well, just the only reason I'm sitting at this microphone was because I walked in to say I had a story about letters from home. Yes. And you guys are like, sit down and talk.
Yeah, try it. You're going to waste it on us.
Yeah, but, well... years ago, I worked at Warner Brothers. It was my first job on the business side of the music business. I was the Midwest manager for promotion for Warner Brothers,
and which does what?
You get songs played on the radio. You talk to radio. You'll have a couple of songs. You go to the program director. You ask them to play it, and that's how you get the songs added to the playlist. Then you keep talking to them to work the spins up so you can move it up the chart. That's it in a nutshell. It's really hard to kind of.
So you're like a song broker. You were just going, trying to get people to play the songs
Absolutely.
And the artists and whatever, because you're trying to build careers and they're trying
Absolutely,
to get the
yeah.
listeners. So okay.
Yeah, like, you know, and I worked one of the three first songs I worked was Wild West Show by Big and Rich, Blake Shelton's Sun Beach, and Letters from Home, John Michael Montgomery. It was the first song, one of the first songs I worked. Before that, I was a musician for 15 years, and I'd never had to sit and use computers and stuff like that. I just, you know, I was okay with it, but I wasn't real up on it. Yeah. And I was in an office, and there was a kid that had started the Letters from Home campaign, and their whole family was coming through, and this kid was like 8, 9 years old, you know, and they were doing these letters from home to send to troops. And so the family was coming to visit that morning, and they were going to visit, they brought him around to visit the promotion team. I didn't know they were coming, and I was sitting there, and I was trying to figure some stuff out on the computer. My door to my office was open, and the screen was facing me, and about the time the family was walking down the hallway, and they were standing in the doorway, they're starting to introduce me, I hit something on my computer, and nothing but porn just started flying on the screen.
I mean,
the dirtiest thing you've ever seen, and I couldn't get it to stop. It
so
was like one of those.
You clicked a link.
I clicked a link that was a malware or something, and it just started just flying, flashing.
Listen,
all this.
Listen, Brent, we're not your mom. You don't have to lie to us. Well, I clicked a link. I got hacked.
That the screen was facing me. The screen was facing me, and they were standing 2 feet in front of me, talking to me, introducing themselves, and I'm trying to act like I'm not doing anything, but under the table, I just reached and I took my foot and jerked that cord loose from the wall.
unplugged
the whole thing because I didn't know what to do and I couldn't have them see what was on there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I stood up, shook their hands, and we went on about our business. But I was like, oh my gosh, man.
Wait, how's that saying go? You want to get away?
Dude, that happened to me one time. So we were at a festival. It was an Oktoberfest festival.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
I can't even with this
story. I'm telling this one. We're in Durango, Colorado.
All right.
Oktoberfest, which is, they had like two beer breweries, and everything else was dispensaries.
Yeah.
So we're there and meeting these people, and they're like, "Oh, we're big fans of the show and all that." And I'm like, Big D's like, "Well, let's take a picture. Bubba's the selfie king." So I go and I take the selfie, and
with her phone.
And I go to look at it, and I cut her off or something like that. And so I hit delete, and as soon as I did, the next picture in the photo album shows up, and it's her in all of her glory that she obviously had
spread eagle.
Taken for her husband, and I'm like, and now I'm standing a foot and a half from them, and
she's
I'm looking at her.
Yes.
And she's looking at me. While
and
I'm
I don't know either.
Phone.
I can't see the phone.
And like I'm like fumbling. I'm like,
I remember him getting kind of weirdish.
Well, also it was an Android, and I'm an iPhone guy, so things aren't exactly the same. Oh. So I'm trying to figure out how to get back to the camera and get off of the camera.
Oh, my God, dude.
And I'm like,
I'm
like, okay, everybody, take the picture.
Yep.
And then they leave, and they're all happy, you know. And I go, D. He goes, what's the matter, dude? I've never seen you act like this. I said, let me tell you. And I've told him the story. He's like, oh, my God. I'm like, dude, she'd have been mortified.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The whole time I'm like, was it the redhead? Was it that one over there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it's crazy.
How was it? Did you want to see it again, or would you?
I'm not saying a word.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Like everyone else's, I guess.
but the names have been changed.
There's got to be so many great Montgomery Gentry Road stories.
You have no clue what you're talking about.
Back in the day, like I remember, Bubba and I were talking about Hillbilly Cheese when it first came out in '99, I think. How different it sounded.
It was game changing because we hadn't had anything that rocked that hard in country in a long time. I mean, that was before Big and Rich and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I
appreciate that, man. I tell you, actually we found that song about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning at a music publishing place down here. And of course, we'd been having a good time already.
Was the demo as rocking as the way you guys did it?
Yes, it was. The demo was it was rocking, and the guys had kept it. They was going to put it out for their album, and
who was? Just,
if you remember, a group called Cooter Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
are they always drunk? Is that them?
They're drunker than that.
Oh, they're drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good title right there. So
drunker than them.
Yeah, but
when I feel like Brian and I are the smartest people in the room right now. Do you feel that way, Brian?
I like it that we're out here. We got something going on.
I know, I got me and you.
But anyway, when we heard when they played the song, we was like, oh, hell, man, we got to cut this song. We want this song. So we ended up getting the song.
I still remember the first time our program director came to us and was like, hey, I want you guys to hear this and get your opinion on it. Never asked us about songs before, but it was because it was so different.
Who
because
was that? Was that Paul?
It was before that. So might have been Randy.
Randy, maybe? Okay.
Yeah. But he was like, yeah, I don't know. He goes, what do you think? And he's like, I'm thinking about playing it at night because it's more of a rocking kind of thing. Yeah. When we listened to it, I was like, dude, this is country from back in the day. This is Charlie Daniels.
Yep.
This is like, all
Skynyrd,
that.
Skynyrd. Yeah, Skynyrd.
You know, think about the sonic difference between all the other stuff that there. It was in the 90s with country music. It was like everybody.
Dude, I'll pull it up.
Everybody discovered all these different production tools.
Yeah.
And they were throwing everything they could to make something sound slick and sweet and all that. And then these guys come along, and it was like rewrote the whole sonic template for what was going out there. That was one of my favorite things about the band.
I'll tell you something, Brian. So in '99, Amazed by Lone Star.
Yeah.
I Love You by Martina McBride.
Yeah.
It was all that kind of.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty. It was pop. It was a great time for country. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, good stuff. How Forever Feels from Chesney.
But think about the sound of that versus what you heard when this came on. And
the tempo.
Well, and the thing about it was we kind of went back to the old school of recording. we dropped mics in. We made everybody be in there instead of in booths.
In one room.
We was in one room, and we put mics all down from the ceiling.
So
and
you
stuff.
Did it like a band?
So it was done like a band, yeah. And so it was real, real live.
Well, and think about today, a lot of stuff is done, as they say, in the box, which is they could do a whole record on a laptop. Yeah. And that is a completely different
You can actually do thing. A whole record on a laptop without a singer, without a band.
Oh, you can do a whole laptop on a browser, for God's sake. Or a whole record on a browser. That's, yeah. It's crazy. But that is. But you can hear the difference in that energy mm-hmm. when you listen to that recording versus the other stuff.
Yeah. The Montgomery Gentry sound, and I always thought that you guys were, you're always kind, in my opinion, that you weren't really Nashville. You're kind of like, and I know you're Kentucky and I get all that, but it was kind of like, you always kind of reminded me of us, of Bubba and I. We're always kind of outliers. Like we're really not, like we play well with everyone, but we're kind of like, we're like, really, we're just kind of doing our thing because we like it. We do a lot of dumb things just because it makes us laugh. Mm-hmm. And people are like, I don't get it, or that's inappropriate or whatever. But we just keep going. And I always appreciate that about you guys, that you just did your thing no matter what.
Yeah, we did, man. I tell you, we're probably first ones, man, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I don't know. But, that, you know, when we was hunting for songs, me and T-Roy, we come in zoning. And you talk about people freaking out because we had everybody publishing companies, and that's who all has your songs. Like, if you're wanting to know if you're a writer, then you work for a publishing company or something, you know, to get your songs plugged. That means so our other artists can hear them. And so me and T-Roy, we went in there, and we knew we was going to be listening, meeting all these publishers. And so we pulled out, we brought our pistols with us and laid them up on the table.
These songs better be good.
And you already seen the people, man, that was coming in there, and they was going like, what the hell they doing with these guns? And that's what we told them. We said, you better make damn sure these songs are good.
Which is the dumbest thing ever. That's so great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You guys never, had a, you guys had a thing about you.
That's never happened with you and I, has it?
And then we went around and we started to hunt for songs. And you know them referees, how they got the yellow flags?
Yeah.
We was taking yellow flags when a song sucked, you know, and I ain't going to say they're all sucked, but it wasn't just our style. We'd take the yellow flag out and throw it up there and go,
that's
and
awesome.
Blow a whistle and go like, that's for a bad pitch.
That's awesome, man.
So it was like the gong show in front of them, and they'd have to, you know, play the songs for you, and you're like, this one's out.
They got pissed off, man. It's like, man, you better watch it when you go over there.
You know what, though?
You don't know what them boys are going to pull out on you.
You guys had an amazing picker, though. I mean, between the two of you, y'all picked some great songs.
Yeah.
They were self-aware as artists. They knew what their sound was
That's
and what
important.
Was going to work for
They're
them.
They're self-aware. That's so important. That's
and we've talked about Jeffrey Steele wrote a lot of your hits.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Steele used to be the lead singer for Boy Howdy back mm-hmm. in the day.
That's right.
Very, very pretty song. Yeah, I mean, he wrote a ton of stuff for Rascal Flatts and all that, but he told us, and I've mentioned this to you before, he told us that I love Montgomery Gentry because my range is so all over the place that they're one of the few bands that could actually pull it off the way I had it in my head.
Mm.
Because you had the high, you had the low, and it worked.
He's one talented son of a buck. That's why I always said, you know, they didn't want one without the other. So it was always me and T-Roy and... You know, and I don't know why, but it just kind of fit. We both sang backup behind each other, and we both sang lead. And, you know, and we had a lot of fun. It was me and him up there, man. And, you know, and it was, and of course, our band's been with us, you know, for just as long. Most of them have. And so, you know, we come from the nightclubs, and we knew who we were. We knew who was going over and playing the jukebox. You know, we had somebody ask us one time, and was like, well, what do you want to get when you get out, when you get done with all this? And I was like going, well, if you can go over to a jukebox and you see Lynyrd Skynyrd, Waylon and Willie, Keith Whitley, Merle Haggard, Molly Hatchet, Skynyrd, Hank Jr., all these guys, and our name's in the middle of that somewhere, then we can go like, you know what, we done pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I'd say you done pretty good then.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think of you guys that way, and – And the other thing I would say is I watched you guys from the very beginning. I never thought that I never felt like there was any ego issues.
Yeah.
That you guys just were having a good time, and you'd sing one, Troy'd sing one, whoever, everybody. It was awesome, man.
We knew our, me and T-Roy always known each other longer. We knew our wives. So, we just knew each other, and we knew how both of us were, man, because we'd been together so much.
That's awesome.
I'm just saying he would have been 58 this year, 58 years
That'd
old.
Correct.
Wow.
Was it true? Now, this is a little off topic, but, well, not really. I always heard you guys had a Jaeger tap on the bus.
Yeah, we did, till the president of the label said, you got to get rid of that.
Why would they say that?
It wasn't only that.
Why would they take the Jaeger tap away?
Well, because of we were playing all these festivals and everything, and we were getting everybody else. They didn't know how to libate right. They just kept drinking it, kept drinking it, kept drinking it.
Oh, okay. They didn't know how to pace themselves.
And so they were getting on stage. Because we'd be doing it all day, and they'd be getting on stage, and they didn't know how to pace themselves. Exactly right. And so the presidents of their labels and their promotion staff was calling up our label and going like, you got to get that damn thing off there, man. We can't have this. It's like, I remember, our guys can't even sing.
I remember some kind of saw y'all came in for an interview or something in the morning, and you had finished up the night before, whatever. And Troy comes in, and he looked like he got like bear sprayed. He was his eyes were all like bloodshot. I'm like, hey man. He's like, hey man, yeah, hey. I go, how'd it go last night? Yeah, no, it went good. That was good. Those are all
good. Still going.
That's exactly
it,
man.
He ever went to bed.
No, hell, we didn't. I remember, man, going in and doing 5 o'clock radio shows, man, and we hadn't even been to bed yet.
That was the early days of our show.
Yeah,
I was a big time partier whenever he and I first got together, and I would come in hammered. Yeah. And I don't know how he put up with
it. Think about the work ethic involved there, though. The work mattered above all else. No matter what shape you were in, you still win. You still showed up on time, and did it. You won't get that with a lot of artists
today. I was better on time back then, just saying, than I am now. I'm always late, but yeah, man. I props to you guys because, again, for decades, not just Montgomery Gentry, but also artists in general. Promotion-wise, as far as coming in and doing radio things or TV things and all that, y'all are up. You work from basically 9 p.m. until 2 a.m., and then they're expecting you to be somewhere to be professional at 7 a.m.
Oh, and then the worst part is the radio people who are just, they're all like, typical, like, Yahoo kind of radio guys. Ding, 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 stupid bell. And then you've got it, and it puts the artist into this position of they've got to be similar and kind of reflect the same energy, goofy energy, and it puts artists in terrible play. So you guys end up like doing the whole and you can never get to any. You can right, you can just never get to anything worth.
That's why we always carried Jim Beam with us back then.
Help grease the wheels.
Help grease the wheels in the morning.
Man. So you're out touring and you're doing stuff with your brother now this year?
Yes, we've got a few shows together and planning on getting more. It all depends on how many he's going to do. We're not for sure on that yet, but he's going to be closing it out at the end of this year.
He's retiring?
Yes, he says he's going to anyway.
What's he going to do, though?
Before we do that, it's John Michael Montgomery. I think we have to mention that. Yeah. That's why the whole story about Letters from Home came up, because that was the John Michael song. So, Big D, you were saying?
Have you talked to him about, like, okay, but, like, what are you going to do?
Call him.
I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, he got him a place down on the lake in Florida and stuff, so he's going to fish.
Sounds good to me.
He's going to do stuff like that, man.
He's going to do that for
my God, he wakes up and goes to bed playing golf. He plays at least 36 holes a day.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, I still don't get that either. But
is he any good?
Yeah. He used to play with Vince Gill, and my brother at one time before he broke his leg and his hip, had a handicap. no handicap or
he got
whatever?
Handicap after he brought his
legs. He got a handicap after his handicap.
We were all waiting to say the joke, but go ahead. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, but.
I should have shut up. I'm.
Yeah, and after that, he gave it up for a while because he was like, man, I can't play no more. Can't hit the ball, man. So hell with it. And now he's back playing a bunch now. Yeah,
good for him. That's good.
I was actually thinking about taking up golf again recently.
Man, me too.
I don't have any hobbies anymore. I used to fish all the time, but where I live now, there's nowhere to fish. And I'm like, maybe I should play golf again. I didn't have the temperament for golf. Big D knows.
I don't have the patience, man. I can't.
I got so angry. I would get so angry. I'm like, it was me, Big D, a preacher, and a cop playing golf one time.
Like a joke.
And it does sound like a joke. And I made the worst chip ever. And I got so pissed. I took my wedge and I'm like, mumble, mumble, mumble. And I throw it and I'm done with that thing. And I throw it as hard as I could. I'm thinking I'm throwing it away. And I look up where it's going, and it's helicoptering right towards the preacher. Oh. And I'm like, duck! And he ducks. And it literally just goes past him. I went, okay, God, I heard you. I'm done. That was the last time I kept score playing golf, for real. And it's been 20 years.
That's like me. I just suck, man. It's terrible.
I was good enough to get angry. Whenever I wasn't good.
That's right.
But you know what? Here's what hurts me. It's just like, for everybody that loves it so much, it's almost like taking your kids to Disneyland. I've never seen so many people beat the hell out of their kids down at Disneyland. You're going to get on that ride and like it.
We need you to come over here and spend $4,000 for you to sit here and cry about how you're hot.
You know, and they'll spend $4,000 on a set of clubs and they end up breaking them, throwing them in ponds and stuff. Yeah, and I'm like, man, I don't get that at all. I don't sound like no fun. Come in here and drink a couple of these shots and you'll have some damn fun.
Yeah.
My wife makes fun of me. I've gotten into the PlayStation Golf. So I've created a character that kind of looks like they didn't have the weight. It stops at like 300. I'm like, why? This video game.
Don't
people.
They know who take plays?
Take it past 300. And so I got, and you can put like, so I've created like a career. I'm like playing, it's me, my name, and I play these fake tournaments and I have to do interviews. After tournaments.
Oh, it's like a career mode?
It's a career mode.
Oh.
And I get like deals, like FootJoy comes to me and says, hey, we want you to do it. Do you want
FootJoy?
Yes. And then you have to like write down your, you're going to do the contract or not? Yes or no? Blah, 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 and you keep growing.
Do you
growing.
Have to do social media?
I have to do social media. You have to grow your social media base. I'm at over 3 million now, by the way.
Nice. Very good.
Thank you. And
your social media on the video game is better than real life.
Real life,
do you do it on Twitch so that people can watch you do the interviews?
No.
I mean,
that would be great.
That would be good, you know?
That sounds dirty.
Twitch.
Twitch. Well, I want to know what you get out of the FootJoy deal.
Well, no, I mean, just my guy does on the game. He just like gets, I don't know, like. I don't know.
Hey,
I don't even know.
With the virtual reality glasses in the head. You know,
I have that
of...
too. I got that.
Wow.
Yeah, I got that. I get a little sick from it. Because of the motion. Because you're like in it. Like it's.
I've never tried that before.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you. Okay, so there's the game.
My son wears it out, but I've never had.
With a head?
Yeah, VR.
Oh, I'd love to check those
out.
So they have
this game that. All right. It's hard to explain this. So when you put. Sorry, let's say, Eddie, you're going to be wearing the VR headset, okay? Right. That means you're the tree, all right? So the game is there's a tree, and these squirrels are all around the tree, and they run up, and they like are trying to like get nuts.
Get the nuts?
Yeah, yeah. And so they're getting closer and closer. So in reality, you're wearing this thing on your head and standing in the room with your controller, and in the room with you is Brian, me, Bubba, Schaefer, whoever. And on our phones, we link into your headset and we control, we're the squirrels. And what we see, each squirrel sees whatever they see. And we're running towards the tree, you. And what you see in us is you're looking around the room, down, up and down, and you see these squirrels. That's us controlling it. And you take things and you're like throwing nuts at them to like make them to try and kill them.
I thought you'd try to protect your nuts.
Well, you would think.
Hold on, let me ask this, though.
It's not for you, I don't think.
I mean,
I would pay really good money to watch him play that game.
I'm thinking
you would squeal.
I'm thinking there's Pink Floyd playing in the background, and I just. Yeah, and somebody's smoking on something.
Dude, there's an NFL crazy. Game where you're the quarterback. Oh, and the first time I played, like, you know, you do practices and all that, and that's great. But then you get into the game. You're literally you get in the huddle, and, you know, I did this fake handoff turn, and I was going to screen it. So I do this, and I turn, and when I turn back up, this gigantic defensive end is in my face. And it's like, bruh! Dude, it was as real as could be. I squealed. I'm like, bah! I mean, it was crazy.
I'm going to tell you this, because I don't know much about this stuff, but when I started finding out about it, so I walk in Walmart one day, and all at once there's this kid, and he's swinging, coming at me. And I'm like, what the hell?
Like boxing?
Yeah, I was like, well, man, what's wrong with this kid? And he had that thing on me, and he said, and he was, I'm like going, man, where's the parents at, man? Because he was walking around, man, just whoever fighting. He was fighting, man. He was fighting somebody or something. No, and I thought I was like, whoa.
I don't play the zombie games because it's too freaky. It's too real, man.
It scares me too much.
They have a plank. They have one, what's it called, something or other plank. Yeah. And literally you get in a virtual elevator. You walk in, you press the button. And it takes you to the top floor, and all of a sudden, the doors of the elevator open up, and it's literally a wooden plank that goes out like 8 feet, and you have to walk out onto the plank, and you're like, looking down 45 to 100 stories up.
Oh, man, that freaked me out.
And so I actually bought a little piece of wood at the house. And so whenever people come over, I put the plank on the ground and set it all up. I'm like, okay, you got the plank? Yeah, okay. And step on it, and they feel the plank. You can feel the edges with your toes.
Yeah. It totally sells it.
Oh, man. That's about 7:30 at a barbecue, right?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly it's, right.
The only games I ever played, I reckon, growing up was Asteroids, Centipede.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You like the ball games?
And Tron. I remember
Tron,
that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Tron.
The light bikes, the light cycles.
What are the which one of the headsets are you using?
I have the the Meta Quest. Yeah. I think I've got the 2, which is kind of an older one. They have like newer ones out now, but I mean, I'm like, it still works. It's
great.
That's
crazy, man.
Oh, there's a time. Do you remember everything was like virtual? Like they were like you would have virtual businesses. You would have Morgan and Morgan, you know, the lawyer.
Yeah.
They have a Morgan and Morgan law office inside this weird world. I'm like, it's like billboards and all that kind of stuff.
That's crazy, man.
There's it's called the Meta Horizons or something like that. It's like some little Facebook world where you can go. There's a comedy club and people get up on stage and it's pandemonium.
I call that marketing.
It is. That's what it is.
Well, and weren't they really actually selling real estate in that world for real money? Real money?
I think so. I didn't get that.
I never went that deep, yeah.
I think I read somewhere about that.
It's like with NFTs and things. Mm-hmm. Like, I never understood people buying NFTs.
I don't get Bitcoin. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I lost a lot with Bitcoin. We should have. Back in the day, we had a guy on the show who was trying to sell us on Bitcoin. And he's like, this is going to be a thing, guys. Don't miss out on it. And we had him on as a guest. And he was like, all it takes is $100 for one Bitcoin, and you just hold on to it, and one day it's going to be worth a ton of money.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it crossed $100,000.
For one, yeah.
So, yeah, for one. So if we'd have bought one Bitcoin.
Yeah, but for everyone that said, like, my church got into all that. They went on trips and taking photos of them on a private airplane. They lost everything.
Well, this hillbilly here don't have a clue what it is. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
So NFTs are non-fungible tokens, is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's basically, you know, you take a picture of you on stage. You can then sell that photo to someone, and it is their property forever.
Mm-hmm. And but you can retain a royalty from that.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm. You can kind of set it up, but you can retain ownership. So, like, if they sell it, you keep the original owner can continue to make bits and pieces of whatever it's worth over
every
the course of its life.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds stupid, doesn't it, Eddie?
It only exists in a digital world. It's not anything you can hold.
It's pretend baseball cards is what it is.
Yeah.
That's a good way of saying it.
Damn, I don't want to.
Yeah, what's the point?
I don't want to pretend to hold anything.
It's crazy, but there was an artist who's on Instagram, Beeple, is that his name? He sold a work of art in it for $66 million or something. He was one of the first ones that had a major NFT sale. This stuff's nuts, man.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, some of the memes that you see that people, you know, you send a meme to your brother or whatever, some of those are owned by people, and then they take them off, and then they're supposed to go and clear out the old ones. And there's just so much weirdness going on. And, yeah, you're right. There's a lot that I don't get, and I consider myself pretty tech savvy. Yeah.
I was going to say they look a lot smarter than I am. I'm going to take that greenback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Greenback dollar. What's that song?
I worry about greenback that dollar. Going to the cashless thing. Because, and I've told them this story. I've gone, I mean, how many times have you gone to a place and they're like, it'll be $10.45. So you give them $10 and two quarters and they don't know what to do.
I've seen that happen. Yep.
Oh.
It happens all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. And I think it's going to get probably where they ain't going to accept cash. It's just going to be a card. You're going to have to have a card.
There's some places that won't accept cash now.
Yeah.
I think know that's it. Dangerous because you saw what happened to the truckers in Canada. No?
Mm-hmm. Oh, says it like everyone does.
Oh, well, no.
Yeah, everybody
should.
Pays attention to that.
The truckers in Canada.
People should know. I mean, the government, when they tried to strike, the government said of Canada, they were like, yeah, sorry, we're going to take away your money. Lock down all of their accounts.
What?
Because everything was digital.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So froze their accounts. So if you're in a cashless society, you can control people by controlling their pocketbook.
I never thought about that. You're right.
So, yeah, I mean, stay with cash as long as we can.
Hey, Eddie, I want to ask you a question. How much do you think the Montgomery Gentry bottle opener keychain costs on your website?
I don't have a clue on that one.
How much would you pay?
I got somebody takes care of all that.
How much would
I'm
you
saying,
pay?
How much, what do you think? It's got a silhouette of you and your hat. And who would he know?
Fletch probably knows, yeah.
Fletch, come here. Grab a mic over there. What's his
getting title?
He's a day-to-day manager, so he's handling hands-on. He's in the weeds with all of that stuff.
Fletch, your client didn't know, so I'll ask you. How much do you think the Montgomery Gentry bottle opener keychain on your website costs?
$5.
Wrong. It's $10.
That's wholesale. That's wholesale.
What about if I wanted to buy Eddie Montgomery sunglasses that he's wearing right now on your website?
$25.
$10.
What?
Now, here's where it gets really good.
Damn, Fletch.
You could actually buy the iconic.
I'm not the merch guy.
The iconic Eddie Montgomery American flag scarf. Eddie, you wear this every. You wear it now.
Wearing it right now.
You wear it on stage every night, right?
Every night.
You're 0 for 2, Fletch. You better get it.
Now,
come
if
on.
I'm a huge fan there, Fletch. Love Eddie and Montgomery Gentry. Got to get me one of these. I love America, man. Jeez, you kidding me? How much is this going to cost me?
That one's going to cost you $25.
$20.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Close.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
It's still 0 for 3, dude. Come on.
Also, looking at all the other.
The price is right.
We're going to talk about your employment after this.
Yeah, we're going to have a chat about that.
Yeah. You can get some of the old, like 2017 Montgomery Gentry t-shirts.
Yeah, oh, man, cool. They're wanting. I'm hearing from a lot of our friends out there, man's coming up and said, man, are you going to go back and do any of the old style shirts? I was like, hell yeah, if y'all want them.
Yeah, well,
hell yeah.
The other day we were having a conversation about bundling some of that stuff together. Donovan, who's actually the merch guy, is doing an inventory, and we're in the process of revamping all of that right now, actually.
Yeah.
When we leave here, we're going to go to a storage place and go through stuff to see what he wants to keep, what we can use for merch items, what we can use for charity items and giveaways and things of that nature. And so, yeah, we're actively on starting to revamp all of that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a weird life, Eddie.
We just had to
we
just got new photos, and with the partnership with SKD, we just did all video, new photos, all that stuff is being edited right now. There's a lot of stuff coming for him that's going to be all revamped. Everything's going to look fresh and new and all that.
And then you and John Michael, I think we need to mention this too. You guys are doing a song together for the first time ever.
Brotherly Love.
That's cool. Like, you got Eddie Montgomery and John Michael Montgomery doing a song together. Like, we're talking, how many years has...
It's been since we've been in the nightclub. We haven't, we only started doing shows together here I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or something.
Like as far as touring.
So, yeah, we'd done some shows together. Yeah, we never had because, you know, he was on a different label. I was on a different label, different booking agencies, you know, different managers and everything. So, and you know how that is, man, around Nashville. They will all from the same agency instead of putting a package together, you know.
I think that's cool.
I tell you what, it was pretty cool. My mom loved it, so, you know, that was great. Wow. We done that. She said, I'm so glad, man, y'all done something together.
Didn't Keith Whitley, and he a writer on that song?
Keith and ETC done it, Earl Thomas Conley. Mm. I'm not sure whether they was writing on it or not, unless him and ETC, which he was an unbelievable writer, ETC was.
Do you talk like this all the time? Is that your voice?
My voice?
Yeah, just like it's around the house. Is it like?
Oh yeah.
It just.
Oh, trust
me. Your entire life, it's always been like that.
It's always been like it, man. It was back growing up, and I wouldn't put this out there for every kid, but let's start drinking and smoking at about 12.
You too can have the Eddie Montgomery voice.
That's crazy how he can now pitch. You never hear him live. You never hear it get pitchy or anything. He's always on the note and sounds incredible live. You know, it's crazy.
That's Kentucky bourbon.
I love it.
The quality.
I think it's cool.
It's a muscle. It's been worked, you know, all this time.
Working all them damn nightclubs back in the day. You remember? Now, of course, you can't even smoke in nightclubs, but back then. We didn't even have none of them air exhausts, man. You walked in there and you're like going,
you'd hardly see the stage.
Oh, you couldn't. I mean, it was like, and I was just as bad. I had one extra tom when I was playing drums so I could keep my whiskey on it and an ashtray.
Yeah.
So,
awesome. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it was everybody smoked, man.
It was a party of four, smoking or non smoking?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
I'll do non smoking, and they literally put you on the next table with like a little wooden wall between you. Now, the air between you is open, completely open, but this is smoking, and that is non smoking.
Or another one, I've walked in a man where it's like, after I quit, it was like going, it's like, well, you want smoking or non-smoking? I said, I want non-smoking. And then I had to walk a mile through the smoking section to get to the non-smoking section.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, you know, and I ain't got against nothing. Nobody wants to smoke, burn it up, because I did for years. So, but, you know, and drinking. I don't have a problem with that either.
You have a problem with that? Yeah.
Good form and don't get behind the wheel.
Good form. Yeah, that's the key right
know
there.
Know how to libate properly.
You know, that's the thing is nowadays with Uber and Lyft and all that kind of stuff, there is really no need. None.
There's no reason why you should go out there and take a chance of your life or anybody else's. Or it's going to cost you 10 grand to get a lawyer.
That's right.
Be 10 careful. Grand. Minimum.
Minimum. Hey, congrats on the EP, by the way. Yes, Brian.
I was just going to say, and the voicemails. With that voice are the best.
Oh, when he calls you?
Hey, man.
Hey.
You already know who it is, but he tells you,
hey, man.
Hey, this is Eddie.
It's awesome.
This is Eddie Montgomery from Montgomery Gentry.
Yeah, he never has to introduce himself.
Yeah. He's just like, hey, man, we got any more of those shirts? Our friends are asking about them.
Hey, man, you guys going to pick me up? Come over there. Yeah.
Hey, man, I've been here for 4 days. No one showed up yet. I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
You're getting close.
I know. It's like... We need one of those little buttons, a little soundboard.
Eddie in a box.
Yeah,
like, we need that laugh. You need that laugh in your arsenal.
Okay.
Yeah,
that need to record that, and then when something's really funny, it's like that's the best, man.
It sounds like a pig, like a hog, like a
like you're trying to get truffles.
You mean in a good way.
If you want to take it away,
all right. So
you made me laugh.
The EP best. Is out now.
Yep.
Okay. So everybody can get on that, and of course, catch you on tour. I'm looking at the dates. You're playing all over the place all year. You're on schedules all the way through. September for sure, and then there's other stuff, and then I like the request a show button. Like that. If you don't see a show near you, request one.
Well, that's smart.
It's like kind of cool.
Me aim to please, man.
And
not to mention the fact that the SKD partnership with all of the stuff that they have going and everything is going to be fantastic.
So
it's a great partnership.
It's killer, man. I tell you what, it's more like family and more like brothers and stuff, man, than anything. It's killer.
Yeah. It's good to see you guys. Thank you.
Is there anything that we missed that we didn't cover that we want to push, that we want to talk about before we
hit the amazing out song?
There'll be new music soon, but it's just not ready yet. It's coming, though.
Okay.
And he just makes noises.
just grunts.
Well, yeah, we got some new music coming out. And then we're going to be doing some touring.
Well, Chewie, come at me. On. I got to say
I don't know what are we doing, brother. You just point me in the right direction.
You'd have been a great wrestler. Like, seriously. You have the...
You got it, man. The hat and the glasses.
Actually, you know what?
You are the
Undertaker.
He did. Guys, you were in a ring a couple times.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, man. I've done that. Hell, I know the
boys. You actually wrestled?
Well, yeah. I went in a buddy of mine owns Ohio Valley Wrestling.
What?
These are ones that, like, you see, like, on TV, like the whatever channel. The
oh,
no
yeah.
That's
cable access.
Yeah.
Shut up, Daddy.
Yeah. This is where it comes. Like,
that's awesome.
That's part of it. Was it the micro wrestling where you get into all that?
That's just funny,
dude. That's the best.
Oh man, I love it, man. I can't help it. I'm a wrestling freak, man. I watch it anytime I get
who's
a chance.
Who's your guy growing up?
Handsome Jimmy Valiant.
Okay.
Shut up, Daddy.
Okay.
Handsome Jimmy's in town.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course you got always love. Woo!
Oh yeah, Ric Flair.
Love him.
JYD.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, Dusty Rhodes.
Dude,
of course,
I like
the Undertaker, man. Undertaker, man. I mean,
Kabuki.
I love Kabuki.
When I was a kid, awesome. Kabuki was magic.
Road Warriors.
Yeah, Road Warriors. Yeah.
Oh, the Road Warriors were killer. Fabulous Freebirds.
Von Erichs.
So, yeah.
I never knew which Von Erich was in the ring. I was like, they're all.
Oh, you know what? I think ain't him and Hulk Hogan starting a new.
Yes.
Yeah.
They.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're starting a new.
The first one's in Cleveland.
We're talking to Stuart about it. What was the other night?
Yeah, he was trying to get us to get Hulk Hogan on the show, and I haven't texted him back, so I need to go ahead and do that.
No, I just meant like what is the why? Is it they've created a new?
It's like real wrestlers that wrestled and won gold medals and stuff. And I think what they're going to do is they're just going to up the ante a little bit, you know. And, I mean, it's real wrestling, but then there's going to be, you know, where'd that chair come from?
Okay. So it's Greco-Roman wrestling with
professional Greco-Roman
wrestling. That's it.
That's going to be great.
I mean, I'm in.
I'm in.
Oh, I think it's going to be great, too, man. I really do. I want to see how far where they take it to because, you know, it's hard to beat,
the Vince McMahon circus.
Yeah, Mick. What was Mick?
Jagger.
McFoley.
Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah, Nick Foley.
Yeah, Nick Foley. Nick Foley. I remember meeting him. We were playing. This is when me and T-Roy first come out, and we were playing. Time in a Bottle. What's
Jim Croce?
Jim Croce. We was playing his family bar, and his wife was there and stuff. And I once Nick Foley come up. Running up through, is it Nick? Mick.
It's Mick.
That's what I thought it was. I did too. I thought y'all said Nick. I thought it was Mick. But he came walking up the street and he asked our guitar player if he had a cigarette. I thought that was great. But I mean, he was great too. I mean, how in the hell, man, did some of them, man, they get up there and put thumbtacks down on the floor and then fall through?
Dude, have you watched? There's a wrestler who does all the exposés on YouTube.
And how they do them?
Yes, in the thumbtack thing, he goes, "You want to know the trick?" And he tells you all the tricks. He goes, "You want to know the trick to the thumbtacks?"
Yeah,
it's real thumbtacks.
Yeah,
he goes, "I would love to tell you how it is, but he goes, it's real.
You're just tough, and it doesn't matter."
He's like, "It hurts."
So they fall on thumbtacks?
Yes.
Yeah.
They take a razor blade and cut their head.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
To make it bleed and stuff.
Well, I learned that from the wrestler movie. But, yeah, this guy, I'm going to send you I'll find the link and I'll send it. He's like, yeah, so what I'm going to do, it's a retired wrestler. He's like, what I'm going to do is show you how it works. And he did it and he flopped down on the floor and he's like, argh! He's like making the face. He goes, this ain't fake.
Like, I got to see that.
Man. Oh, it's crazy.
But it's also, man, you know, you remember Tojo Alamoto?
Oh, yes.
And, of course, Jerry the King Lawler.
Right, right. Yeah, I feel like we out.
Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw
Jim Duggan.
But boom, boom. Yeah. Oh, don't boom, boom,
walking
boom,
out
that. Coming out with that big 2x4.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. I used to get in. Man, I was all into that.
I love it.
That's my era. Well, this was fun. Thank you, boys. Thank you. And you guys want to hear the great AI-made song to take us out?
Absolutely.
Well, we know what this one sounds like because this version doesn't change.
Ooh, this was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. Mm.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Doris Day.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Thank you, boys.
That's Billy. That's awesome. What's her name? Something Billy?
What? Billy Eilish?
No. Billy.
Billy what?
Billy.
Billy Holiday.
Billy Holiday.
All right, I'm sorry. Bye, y'all.